Amen. Thank the Lord for the fervent prayer that has been offered publicly, and ask you to continue to be in prayer as I endeavor to preach to you this morning. I'd like to begin today with something that has been on my mind this week from the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 11, or verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So the Apostle Paul is going to be closing out his letter to the Ephesian church by talking about spiritual warfare, something that all of us are engaged in. So he says in verse 10 that we're to be strong in the Lord. Physical strength is not going to help us in our spiritual warfare. Now, if you're engaged in physical warfare, you need to be strong and healthy. You don't want a soldier that's weak, crippled, and not able to walk. When the army is examining somebody, they don't want soldiers that are flat-footed. They don't want soldiers that are sick and weak and frail. They want young men that are strong physically. But in God's army, He's not looking for physical strength as much as He is spiritual strength. So the apostle would say, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. So it really doesn't matter what age you are. Did you know you can be strong in the Lord? You might be in a wheelchair, crippled, bedridden, but you can still be strong in the Lord. And I think some of the strongest Christian soldiers I've ever known were bedridden or in a wheelchair, but they were strong in the Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And then he tells us to put on the whole armor of God. And why are we to put on the whole armor of God? So we can march in the parade? No. So that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, soldiering is hard. Now, a soldier in a parade is dressed up, he's looking good, his family's there saluting him and encouraging him, and they're all excited about their son, their nephew, whatever, being in the parade. But when the parade is over, and he has to go to the battlefield, it's a different story altogether. Soldiering is hard. And I've spent a lot of my life watching documentaries about warfare and reading about warfare. And let me tell you, it's horrible to be on the battlefield, to be shot at constantly, to be in a foxhole, to be in no man's land, to go for hours, maybe days without any sleep, without any food, decent food. Soldiering is hard. And the Bible describes the Christian life as being a soldier in the army of the Lord. And beloved, it's not easy to be a soldier of the cross. And we need on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And that word wiles means the ensnarements, the deceptions of the devil. See, we've got three enemies as God's children. We've got the world, our own flesh, and the devil. And we've got to constantly be warring against them. Now, this morning, I don't want to get into all the six pieces of armor that the apostle talks about, but I do want to mention the first one. He tells us to put on the helmet of salvation. Now, helmet is to protect the head. And this morning, I want to, for the Lord, with the Lord's help, I want us to think about the mind. Last Sunday night when I tried to preach here, I preached some on the warfare that goes on in our minds. And that is the battlefield. Satan is going to battle against us through our minds. So the apostle says that we're to put on the whole armor of God, and he first tells us to put on the helmet of salvation. Why? To protect your thought life. It's very important that we have on the helmet of salvation that's going to protect our thoughts. I have said this, that you and I ought to treat our minds like we would a dangerous neighborhood. There are parts of Atlanta you wouldn't want to go into. It's dangerous. Unless you were accompanied by policemen or some kind of guard. Now, beloved, you and I need to treat our minds like a dangerous neighborhood, and we don't need to go there alone. We need to go there with the Bible and with the Holy Spirit. We need always to have our minds under the influence of Scripture and under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Because Satan is going to do everything he can to get our minds thinking things that we shouldn't be thinking. Let's notice something else the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. He's telling us our warfare is not like a soldier in the Army or the Marines or the Navy or the Air Force. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of what? Strongholds. You and I need to understand that Satan is always trying to set strongholds up in our minds. Now, what is a stronghold? A stronghold, let's say on a wall around a city, there would be strongholds or towers where there would be guards set up there to protect what was inside the walls. Now, a tower or a stronghold is not built quickly. They build it brick by brick. And you know how Satan sets up strongholds in our minds that can sabotage our lives? He does it a thought at a time. It may take him a year. It may take him 5 years to set up a stronghold in our mind that's going to sabotage our joy and our happiness. Strongholds. Satan is always trying to get us to think things we shouldn't think, setting up strongholds. And you know how he protects those strongholds? With demons. Do y'all believe in demons? The Bible talks a lot about demons, demonic warfare. And Satan will assign demons to you and me to occupy those strongholds and to keep us in bondage to him. And we've got to constantly be watching out for that. So, Paul would say, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now that is a job. To bring every thought into captivity under the obedience of Jesus Christ. How many thoughts have you had this morning that were not in harmony with God's will and God's word? You know, a lot of thoughts pop into my mind and I think, now I didn't invite that thought into my mind. I didn't ask for it. It just came in there. And you know what I'm supposed to do? Cast it down instead of giving in to it. So this morning, I want to turn back with you into the Old Testament. You know, this week, one thing that got my mind on this was Brother David Crawford sent out a text about Sherry's surgery and how they had such a peace about it. And he sent a quote from the book of Isaiah, where Isaiah says, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace. How many of y'all would like to have perfect peace? Well, you're not going to get it in a bottle. You're not going to get it in a pill box. A lot of people go to alcohol and drugs for peace. Well, it may give you a temporary tranquilizer, but it's not going to give you any peace. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And Brother David said they had just such a peace about it. And you know, beloved, the reason they had that peace was because their mind was stayed on God. Not on the cancer, not on what might happen, what could happen, but their mind was stayed on God. Now, if you want a lot of homework, here's a big one. Keep your mind stayed on God. Don't listen to dirty music. Don't watch dark, violent movies. See, your mind will absorb all of that. And so, you need to keep your mind stayed on God. Paul gives us a list of things we're to think about. Things that are just, things that are lovely, things that are honest, things that are pure. If there be any virtue, think on these things. Now, I'm trying to do that. And I'm here to tell you publicly this morning, as your servant, as your pastor, it's a constant battle with me. I have a hard time doing it. And I'm sure you do. And one reason we need to be in church as often as we can, and the reason we need to be reading our Bibles and singing the hymns, is because that all stirs up our pure minds. See, if y'all leave here today and you don't have any peace in your mind, I've either failed to explain the word or you failed to get it. I remember years ago, I was in Arkansas preaching, and I said during the sermon, I hope y'all are getting this, and I never will forget, during the handshake, a young teenage girl came up and shook my hand, and she said, I got it. Now, that's what preachers want to hear, that you got it. And I'm going to pray for y'all, and y'all pray for me, that we may be able to keep our minds stayed on God. If we don't, Satan is going to win. So let's look now at a text in Psalm 139 and verse 23. David is praying to God. And David, the great king of Israel, the sweet psalmist of Israel, says, search me, O God, and know my heart. How many of us want God to search us? To look into our hearts and our minds. David wanted that. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way that is everlasting. David is asking God to help him to have control of his mind, that his mind might be under the influence of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. And I honestly believe, beloved, that our mind is probably the greatest part of the creation. I know the sun, moon, and stars are great, but they can't think. The oceans are beautiful. The mountains are majestic, but they can't think. God gave us something right up here that can think. Those automobiles you drove over here in this morning, you know where they started? In some man or woman's mind. Some engineer thought it up. The mind is incredible. And Satan wants access to your mind and my mind. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. What you think about all day long is what you become. Where the mind goes, the body will follow. And so, may God help us to bring every thought into captivity to His will and replace bad thoughts with good thoughts. And if a stronghold has been set up in our minds, may we be able to pull it down before we can really begin to change our thoughts. Pull those strongholds down. And here are some strongholds that I have seen in my own mind, and perhaps you have had to deal with in your own mind. One of them is, when I was young, like 14 years of age, Satan got it into my mind that there was no way God could love me. See, I knew I was a sinner. And if you talk to people who knew me when I was a little boy, they'll gladly tell you. Go out to Allentown and talk to Annie Merle. No, don't do that. I've told you all about what Annie Merle told a preacher one day when we went into her restaurant. She said, "Are you Sammy?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Are you preaching?" I said, "Yes." She said, I couldn't believe it when they told me. You were the meanest boy on our school bus." Well, I was a rascal. I'm not proud of it at all. But I can tell you, when God dealt with me and gave me a love for the church and a desire to be in the church, the devil got into my mind and said, there's no way God could love you. There's no way God could ever love you, and there's no way the church would ever receive you. That was in my mind. You know what that was? It was a lie of Satan. That's all it was. But Satan held me bound to that. And there are people who live their entire lifetime tormented by the fact that there is no way God could ever love me. Well, I want to tell you, it is amazing that He loves us. I'll grant you that. It is amazing. It's beyond comprehension that He would love us, but I know He does. He loved us enough that He was willing to give His only Son to die for us. And Satan has the audacity to come along and say, "There's no way God could ever love you." Satan is a liar. He's the father of lies. You know what the Bible says? He is the accuser of the brethren. Satan will get into your mind and accuse you. The accuser of the brethren. That's what the word Satan means, accuser. And he loves to torment God's children by bringing up their sins and reminding them of what a sinner they are. Well, I'm here to tell you, we're all sinners. I understand that, but I want to tell you, God loves us with a perfect love, an unconditional love. I love the story of the two grandchildren who went out to spend a week with Grandmama and Granddaddy, and Johnny and Susie. And Grandmama had some ducks that she really loved, and she told Johnny, now Johnny, don't you aggravate my ducks. Don't you be shooting at them with your slingshot. Well, Johnny did shoot at them with his slingshot and killed one of them and hid it in the woodpile. His sister Susie saw it. And that night, after supper, Grandmama said, Susie, won't you help me with the dishes? And she said, Grandmama, Johnny really wants to help you wash the dishes. See, Johnny knew that Susie saw him kill the duck and hide it. So Susie's going to get a lot of mileage out of this. The next day, Granddaddy says, Johnny, don't you want to go fishing? And Susie says, no, Granddaddy. Johnny doesn't want to go fishing. I want to go fishing. This went on for days. Finally, Johnny got tired of being accused, bringing his sin up every day. And he went to Grandmama and confessed it. And you know what Grandmama said? She said, Johnny, I saw you from the kitchen window when you killed the duck. I just wondered how long you would let your sister torment you. Now you know, beloved, Satan is like the tormentor. He will. He'll torment you if you'll let him. He'll build a stronghold in your mind and have you going around all the time. Now listen, if we've done something wrong, we need to be convicted of it, but not condemned. See, condemnation is, there is no condemnation to God's children. Now, if we've done wrong, we need the Holy Spirit to convict us and let us know. But we don't need to spend our lives going around feeling defeated like there's no way God could love us. That's a serious thing. And I want to tell you, God finally opened my mind, and Elder Daugherty and other preachers helped to pull down that stronghold that was in my mind and blessed me to see God love me. You talk about happy. You talk about rejoicing. There is nothing this side of heaven that'll bring you more joy than to know the assurance that God loves you. Nothing can separate you from His love. Don't ever let Satan get into your mind and convince you that you're not a child of God. He will. And I'll tell you something else Satan loves to do. Fill us with fear. Fear has torment. Did you all know that? If you're scared enough, you will be tormented by fear. You just can't, you can't get free from it. Scared of, you know, I could mention a lot of things this morning that can torment us if we live in fear. I love what David said. I will fear no evil, even though I'm walking through the valley of the shadow. And I love what David said there. Yea, though I walk. He's not running. He's not scared. I'm walking. He's not crawling. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow. You don't walk into the valley. You walk through it to the other side. There's another side to death. Do y'all believe that? Come on now. Are y'all listening to me this morning? I'm telling you, there's another side to death. I know death is real. But let me tell you, beloved, for God's children, they're just asleep in Jesus. And we're going to walk through the valley to the other side where it's glorious, and we'll be in heaven someday. You don't have to fear death. That's a wonderful blessing. I tell you, it's indescribable when God blesses us to live without fear and not let Satan get into our heads and build up those strongholds and cause us to just live in constant fear. There are people who live in fear of not having enough. Afraid their money's going to run out. Let me tell you, people who are living by faith and they're trusting in a God who has unlimited resources, they'll always have enough. They'll always have enough. If God can rain down bread from heaven for 40 years and feed 3 million people in the wilderness, 40 years, come on now, Are y'all getting this? That's the greatest, longest running miracle in the Bible. And God fed them 40 years. Y'all think he can take care of us? Don't live in fear. Don't let Satan get into your head and torment you with fear. You've got a heavenly Father. I love the story about the two birds that were talking, the sparrow and the robin. And the robin was looking down here at these humans running around, and they're fretting and they're scared to death. And the robin says to the sparrow, you know, why are those humans down there running around? And the sparrow says, they must not have a heavenly Father like you and I've got. Some of y'all look like Brother Sam's just wasting his time. He's not going to get me to quit worrying. Well, I'm doing my best. I hope y'all are getting it. You've got a heavenly Father. Do y'all know that? How many times did Brother Tracy address God in his prayer this morning as our Father? Don't let Satan get into your head and fill you with all kinds of worry about money. That's why people hoard money. And I tell you, money is important. We've got to have money. I told my children when they were growing up, there's four things about money y'all need to learn. First of all, you need to learn how to make some. Not depend on the government for a check. I'm telling you, those checks, free money in America has done harm to our economy. You need to learn how to make some money. Be willing to work. The Bible honors a good work ethic. You need to learn how to make some, and then you need to learn how to spend it wisely. Shop for bargains. One of my daughters got it. I'm not going to tell y'all which one. She's frugal. She's tight. The other one is learning. You need to learn how to spend money wisely. You need to learn how to save some money. How many of y'all are learning to save some money? And then you need to learn how to give money away. That's one of the greatest blessings there is. Having money is that you can give it to people that need something. Amen? Thank y'all. Don't let Satan get into your head and think, I got to save every dime I can. You know what you're doing? You're just saving it for somebody else to go buy big boats and cars. I remember a family in Tennessee. This man saved and saved and saved. He and his wife were misers. They lived like they had nothing. And when they died, they left a fortune to three kids. And the pastor said, you've never seen so many new boats and SUVs. They spent it in just a few months. If you got something, enjoy it. Amen? Don't let Satan set a stronghold up in your mind about money. I'll tell you another thing a stronghold Satan can set up, and that's lust. If people give in to lust, and they start watching things they shouldn't be watching on the internet. Pornography is prevalent. And I have been reading where there are millions of people that are addicted to pornography. And you know what that does? That just sets up a stronghold in your mind, and Satan can take over your life with it. Are y'all getting this? Your mind belongs to God. And you need to keep your mind stayed on Him. And I believe God's people can live a godly life. You know, you can get a sickly mind. You can become paranoid. You ever known anybody that was paranoid? I mean, one man went to the doctor, and the doctor said, what's wrong? And he said, I don't know, what's new? Well, y'all didn't get that. You know, there are some people who just enjoy being sick. They do. And you don't need to have a sickly mind. Now, if you're sick, you need to go to the doctor and get help. But don't allow yourself to be paranoid and scared of and become a germaphobe or things of that nature. Jealousy. Satan can set up a jealous stronghold in your mind, and you're jealous of what other people have. Instead of enjoying what other people have and rejoicing when they're blessed, I've said this. If a member of your church family drives up one Sunday in a brand new Mercedes, $70,000, brand new, and parks it next to your old rattle trap, you know what you ought to say? I'm so happy for my brother in Christ, my sister in Christ. They're so blessed. And don't be jealous. Come on. We're talking about spiritual warfare. Jealousy is as cruel as the grave. And if you give in to it and allow jealousy to set up in your heart, you'll be tormented. You'd be better off dead than obsessed with jealousy. Are y'all getting this? Now, I want to tell you, I've known preachers that were jealous. I've known people in churches that were jealous. Listen, if I've got the right attitude and a man can preach 10 times better than I ever dreamed of preaching, I want to rejoice because he's preaching my Savior, right? I love those soldiers on Iwo Jima holding that flagpole. They weren't up there for their glory. They were up there to hold up the stars and the stripes. And I want to tell you, every preacher that loves the gospel ought to have his hands around the flagpole of Old Glory. And let's fly it as high as we can. And it's not about us. It's about Jesus. And if a man can preach, let's glory in that. Let's thank God for that. Amen. Thank y'all. Some of y'all are listening. You can become self-conscious. Self-conscious. You know, I've known people that thought they were ugly and it just tormented them. Listen, not everybody's born beautiful. Now, physical beauty can be a blessing, but it's highly overrated in our culture. And it has been throughout centuries. Listen, a person that's got a handsome face or a beautiful body and nature's been good to them, that's okay. But I want to tell you, if you don't measure up physically, don't worry about that. Don't be jealous of other people that are handsome or beautiful. My time is gone. There's a lot more strongholds we could talk about today, but I've probably given all of us a lot of homework. Let's try to work on it.